This is My First Ride, a podcast asking all sorts of questions about firsts, from innocent moments to adult events. You might want to bear that in mind if there are younger ears around.
So, this is a podcast asking all about the big firsts in our lives.
One guest, a whole lot of firsts, and some surprising answers.
And that was the reason why we broke up, because I didn't like it and I didn't want to do it again. So she broke up with me.
My First Ride with Lauren Emma.
This time on My First Ride, he is a music producer extraordinaire, a fellow radio presenter, and he's got a smile that would crack your screen in a good way, of course. It's Marty Guilfoyle.
Marty Guilfoyle, the smiliest man on the planet. I just want to know, what is your first ever memory?
Before I moved to Knocklyon, I grew up in a small house on the Churchtown Road. And for some reason, I have this like vague memory of being a kid, like sprinting out of the door, heading towards the main road. And yeah, oh, God is right. Yeah, yeah. I think that's why my parents moved house, because we were so close to the main road. But they will tell you that like my mom ran after me as well to make sure that I didn't get knocked down by a car. But weirdly enough, like I was like, must have been like three or four, maybe 2 or 3 years of age. And for some strange reason, it's in my head. Now, obviously, it's a bit like vague, but I can still remember it for some reason. Yeah. So,
Marcy, you sound like my dog.
Yeah. I know. I'll have juicier answers for the rest of them, I promise. But for that one, like, I have to be honest, like, I'm not going to lie and make up something and give you something more exciting. Like, for some reason, I can just remember bolting it out of my house as a 2-year-old, like, heading for the main road. So, yeah.
I wonder where you thought you were going, like, what your plan was.
Well, to be fair, all right, there was a Silvio's across the road, and they do the best chipper chip. So, like, I was probably heading across there. Like.
Little 2-year-old Marty going over for a bag of chips and a battered sausage. I love it. So, Marty, do you remember your first day of school?
No, I remember my first teacher, and I remember the excitement of because I used to order the milk. I don't know if you guys did that when you were in primary school. You would like, yeah, the milk would arrive at a certain time of the day. You get a break from school to get your milk, and it'd be always like ice cold, and it was like the best carton of milk you'd ever have. But I went to St. Colum Kills in Knocklyon, and my primary school teacher was called Miss Callahan. So I can't remember my first day. But some of the friends that I made on my first day of primary school, I'm still friends with now. So that's kind of cool.
I'm so jealous of you saying that your milk was ice cold. Our milk was always lukewarm. It was right.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. And it just gives me the fear of God, but you always had to drink it because it was good for your teeth and your bones.
Yeah, we got really lucky that our milk is always like super cold. So maybe they dropped it to our school first, Laura. I haven't explained, but...
Did you guys have the bougie strawberry milk? I remember for a while there was like strawberry milk around our school.
We definitely weren't that posh, Emma. No way.
Is this what growing up in Dublin was like?
I'm looking back to our primary school, and I think it was like the third biggest primary school in Europe. We had 6 classes of 30 in every year. And apparently now, it's just behind the Super Value there in Auckland. Apparently now it's actually 8 classes of 30. So it's gone like 2 classes extra. So there's 180 kids in my year going through all of primary school. And now there's like 240 in that school going through it.
So you had the I suppose, the cream of the crop to choose from friends. Who was your very first friend?
Yeah. My very first friend was a guy called John. I actually knew him before we went to primary school because he grew up across the road from me. But we both went to the same primary school. So we're still best friends to this date. So we walked to school together. We walked home together. We spent all our time together. So I'm pretty sure we made friends when we were like 3 or 4 years of age. And we're still friends now, which is, you know, a very heartwarming story. Yeah.
Did the two of you try to play with traffic together at any point? Or was that just a solo trip?
I got rid of that addiction when I turned 3, which was great. No, we didn't. We did have one incident before now where my parents were questioning my friendship with him when he knocked me out with a putter at his back garden.
4!
What? Oh my God, yeah. You need to elaborate, please.
Yeah, so we were, we just got into this mad golf phase when we were really, really young. And his older brother and his dad were big into golf. So we decided to take the putter out and a golf ball out of his back garden. Now, bear in mind, we grew up in an estate. Our back gardens were like the average size of a back garden. Like, so he gave it a good swing. And to be fair, he did tell me to step back, but he ended up clashing me across the head. And I woke up covered in blood on his mom's lap. And next thing I know, an hour later, like my mom is rushing me to A&E and I'm covered in blood, crying. I'm not getting the stitches. Like, I was a nightmare. My mom will tell you to this day that I was an absolute nightmare with that club to the head going to the hospital. But
What an awful experience to go through.
It's mad because it's one of those experiences that, like, because it was so extreme that you obviously remember it. But, like, if you asked me anything else that happened that year, I wouldn't have a clue. You know what I mean? So we still have that, you know. It made our friendship stronger. We can still talk about it now. And, yeah.
I love how when you refer to it, it was like, yeah, I was bawling and crying after getting hit in the head with the club. Of course you were. You were like four.
I haven't played golf since, girls.
I don't blame you either. So I'm eager to know now about your first fight with a friend. Was it with John by any chance?
Was that
no.
It?
Oh my God, no. I'm never going to forget this. My first fight was with my friend called Connor, who also lived across the road. But I was huge into Batman when I was a kid. And I don't actually fully remember this, but my mom told me this, that I came in crying one day because Connor took my Batman and threw it down one of the drains. I know. I'm like, you know, when you're growing up and you get that doll, you get that like really kind of unique doll and you're holding it, you're bringing it everywhere. And my Batman just went swimming in the drain and I was in bits. Like, it was traumatizing for me. Like, I couldn't get over it.
Did Batman return?
No, he didn't. So I remember falling out with Connor over that for a good week. And I know this is going to sound so petty, but I remember falling out with my friend Aaron, who was just down the road as well. Remember back in the day, you know, when you were growing up, that if you were going to the shop, you would have to knock on their door and ask them if they want to go with you. I don't know if you guys ever had that. You couldn't send a WhatsApp or a Snapchat, but if you ever looked at your window and you saw two of your friends walk into the shop and they never knocked in to ask you if you wanted to go, you'd always be really upset.
Naturally.
Yeah, you'd be so upset. So I remember seeing Aaron, because the way my parents say this at the moment, so Connor was literally across the road and Aaron was down the bottom, and I could see from this window, because he's my bedroom, I could see Aaron walking up the road and calling into Connor. And then I'm here thinking, yo, they're coming over to me next, you know what I mean? And they ended up walking down the road down to the shops, and I remember just being so angry at Aaron for that, for
to not be calling honest in to ask me. Aaron and Connor both respectively, they knew what they were doing. You were well within your right to be angry at Batman going down the drain and then the two lads heading off to the shop together.
Oh, if they listen to this podcast, they'd be like, what are you doing to us, man? What are you doing to us? So, yeah.
Well, it's great that you're still friends together.
Yeah, no, we still do talk. Aaron and Connor is kind of like a Christmas Eve job in the local.
Love
but
that.
John, yeah, you know, you kind of see everyone there. You get that one catch up a year, clears it all up, it's good. Well, whereas John would be kind of a closer friend. So, yeah.
Well, listen, it always works out like that. But we're more interested. We don't really care about the fights. We don't really care about the first friend. Who was your first kiss?
So I peaked early. I was 5.
Oh my God.
Yeah. She's actually married now, living in Australia with her husband. So, like, we're all good. She's actually a kid a couple of weeks ago as well, which is great. But her name is Helen. And in junior infants, I don't know how it came about, but me and Helen were sitting on opposite sides of the table. And it just wasn't like my first shift. It was my first kiss, like, peck. Now, she might tell the story a little bit differently, but I think that we were, like, you know, trying to change seats under the table, you know, just like a little bratty thing you did as a kid. And we kissed under the table on the way around.
Oh
yeah,
my God.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it? But like, really, wasn't it an intentional kiss, or was it you just happened? Your face has just happened to me.
No. Imagine we clashed heads, and I'm telling everybody that was my first kiss, and Helen's like, he headbutted me. Yeah. No, it was actually a kiss. We kissed under the table in junior infants, because it was a running thing for primary school where it was like Martin and Helen kissed under the table in junior infants. And whether we changed seats or not, I can't remember, but I do know that was the idea. Again, she might tell the story a little bit differently, but in the middle of all that, there was a kiss. So my first kiss was with Helen, yeah, under the table in junior infants. So,
and was this a thing then that continued? Like, did you keep kissing then once you got a taste for it? Where you're like, I'm going to do this as much as I can. Or was it like years later before you're next?
No, it actually was so many years later. It must have been 6 years before my actual proper first kiss. And it was actually with a girl called Sarah. This is going to sound mad. I was going out with her for like 2 or 3 years in primary school. And we only ever like snogged or shifted once. And that was the reason why we broke up, because I didn't like it and I didn't want to do it again. So she she broke up with me. And I just remember feeling like sandpaper on my tongue and everything. I was like, what is this? Like, this is not enjoyable at all. And I remember my other friend Tracy, who was a mutual friend of the two of us, was like, would you go down to the end of the yard and kiss Sarah again after school? And I was like, absolutely not. Like, I don't like it.
I
don't. So,
I hope Sarah's not listening today.
Sarah will laugh at this story. But I remember it was a Friday. And I don't know about you guys, but in primary school, we didn't get homework on a Friday.
Yeah.
And I was so nervous going in for that kiss. the bell went to 2:30, and of course you went down to the trees at the end of the yard and was like, right, this is going to happen now. And you're standing there with your hands by your side and you're so, and you're just like, this, what the hell's going to happen here? And it got to 3:30 before I did it. My dad was collecting me from school that day. I was off at 2:30, and my dad's sitting in the car for like an hour wondering where I was. And my dad was like, where were you? And I had to think of something on the spot. And I was just like, I couldn't find my maths book for homework. And I remember at the time I had a Spanish student and I had no homework. And I had to hope that there was a book in my bag and for when I got home to pretend to do homework. And it was Figure It Out. Did you guys have Figure It Out?
I don't know. Was that the maths book?
A maths book called Figure It Out, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
It was called Figure It Out anyway. So I sat down with my Spanish student while he told me how to do division. I remember it so well, when I didn't have to because I didn't actually have homework, but I had to pretend because I wanted to make it seem legit, even though I was down the end of the schoolyard after kissing my girlfriend, but didn't like it. And it was just the worst Friday I think I've ever had. Like
a horrible kiss, and you made yourself do homework when you didn't even have homework to do.
I had the worst kiss of my life and I made myself do maths homework.
Oh, I love it.
You must have been absolutely traumatized, God bless you.
I didn't like it. I remember feeling like it was sandpaper. I honestly hated it. I hated it so much. I was like, I'm so used to seeing people do this in movies, on Nickelodeon, and they're doing it like they like it. And I was like, why don't I like it? You know, the kind of way I was like, what's going on here?
And at what point did you start to like it? I'm assuming you have.
I think last week, I think I had like my best one yet. No, that's obviously a joke because it's funny because my girlfriend, she lives in America, so if she's listening now, she'd be like, you had a kiss last week? Yeah.
So tell us, Marty, do you remember the first time you got into trouble?
Like, we talk about my parents here. If we go from my parents, I remember getting in trouble. I got in a lot of trouble actually when I had my first drink. This is my first time I remember being in proper trouble, and the reason being is my parents, I can't remember where they went, but they went out. And the whole covered alcohol in the press kind of job, and two of the lads were out, and I was like, look, I can fill up what was like a fruit shoot, and I can fill it up with whatever alcohol is there and bring it around. Threw it in and I brought it over, and they were smart. They were like, no, we're gonna let you drink this and see what happens to you. And I drank it. My parents came home early and they messaged me. They were like, where are you? And I was like, oh my God. I was like, turned to my friends and I was like, my parents are home. And no joke, they had me doing laps around the field. They had me doing press ups. They were telling me that one of them saw that if you do exercise, it sobers you up quicker. And I ended up coming home and I was like, you know what I'll do? I was like, I'll just boot it up the stairs and say nothing. And this was in my head, was the way to go around this. I went up the stairs and my dad was like, where are you going? And I was so aggressive. Like, I was so aggressive. And I was like, I'm going to bed, Dad. And he was like, oh, like, Martin doesn't talk like this. What's going on here? He's like, come down now. And he brought me down. Now, at the time, guys, I'd say I had what would be the equivalent to a noggin of everything mixed. But I was like, I need to soften the blow here because they're going to be like, it's going to upset my mom, number one, definitely. And my dad's going to be pissed off. So I was like, I found a can of Dutch Gold in the field and I had half of it. that was my excuse. My parents were like, get up to bed, right? But this is where it gets kind of like emotional. So at the time we were getting the attic converted. So me and my younger sister were sharing a bedroom, me like bawling, crying, and my sister in the bedroom, who's 12, like, and I'm in tears. And my sister woke up and she turned around to me and she was like, what's wrong? She's 12. And I was like, I'm drunk and mom is disappointed in me.
Oh, party.
Setting a really good example for my 12-year-old sister. Like, so I gave up the drink then, which was great. I thought it was one of my best moves. Yeah, it was to give up the alcohol at 14. And
yeah, so, congratulations on that one. Yeah. There is nothing worse. You actually would 10 times prefer your mother to be fuming with you, yeah, and be disappointed, because when they're disappointed, there's that heartbreak in their eyes and you're just looking, you're like, how did we ever get here? And how did you play me so well?
I know. And I was actually working in a cafe at the time, not mine, and I had work the next day. My mum collected me. I got into the car and she was like, how are you? And I was like, I'm okay. And she goes, do you have a headache? And I was like, I do. And she goes, that's called a hangover.
I'm kind of thinking though about your sister. You said that it wasn't really setting a good example, which it wasn't because you were drunk. But for her to see your mom's reaction and see how upset you were, surely that set a good example for her. She was probably like, I'm never doing that.
Are you the oldest in the family, Marty?
I'm the oldest, yeah, oldest of three. So
So I'm the eldest of four as well, and Emma's the eldest of two. But
oh, so we're all the oldest.
Yeah.
All
right. But I actually think like that, your younger siblings end up coming out so much better in life because they've seen all the mistakes that you make and they're like, that's not for me.
Are you talking from you're talking from personal experience there?
Oh, 100%.
Are you
like,
yeah.
My little sister is 11 years younger than me and she is the person I aspire to be. Yeah, she's so much younger, but she looks at me and she's just like, you're actually just a mess of a human being. She has her life together, you know. She's like really great in college. She like has a good time. She's mad for working. Then I look at her sometimes and I'm like, I'm so proud of you. And she was just like, well, you made it easy, because I looked at you and went, nope, not doing that.
Oh my god, that is so funny. So she is literally going through life doing the exact opposite to what you did.
Your very first job, you mentioned there you were working in a cafe. Was that it?
Yeah. Oh my God. I was 13, but I'm 6'2", guys. So I didn't grow. I was that tall up until 14. I thought I was going to end up being like 7 foot or something, but I just stopped growing. So I was like towering over all my friends until some of them caught up with me. And we were out skateboarding. So that's leading into why I got away with getting a job at 13. We were out skateboarding on the road. And I'll never forget it. My mom comes running down the road, delighted with life. She's so excited. She's like, Martin, I've got the best news ever for you. And I was like, oh my God, like, what's going on here? Like, what are you going to tell me? She was like, you got a job. And I was just like, what? So my auntie was the manager of a cafe in Ramine. So I got a job washing the dishes. And I'll never forget it. It was like, I think like $5.50 an hour or something. $5.50 or €6 an hour. So I went in there 8 hours a week. Came out with whatever it was, 50 odd euro, thinking I was the business. You know, I was the guy in the group now making the money, you know what I mean? So I didn't have to ask the parents for the money to go to the shops. But I ended up actually staying working in that cafe for a good 7 years. I loved it. I loved it so much. They waited until I was 15 before I could actually serve people, which was kind of sad of them. But I was just washing dishes, listening to the radio, making all the egg mayonnaise, you know, when you see it in the bowl, like that comes in. I don't know if it's going to disgust you or not. It's going to come in. It comes in like these big 10 kilo buckets. So you got to stick your hand into the mayonnaise and bring it all up and throw it into the eggs and stir it around in another 10 kilo bowl of eggs. So all the rotten stuff I got to do. So
I love how passionate you are about making the egg mayo. It's like the resounding memory.
Oh, Laura, you think it was easy, but I got it wrong so many times. Like I remember the owner of the cafe, and oh my God, like everything was so particular, like the ratio of mayonnaise to egg, like I got it wrong all the time. But I'm just thinking like so what, like.
Martin, you mentioned there that you used to work in the cafe and you were listening to the radio while you were in the cafe. Did you have like any idea that you wanted to work in radio back then?
No, I didn't. It was about 5 years later when I knew I wanted to work in radio. But I remember who I was listening to. I was listening to Spin, funny enough. I'm not just saying that because they had Joe and Keith were on Saturdays. And they were doing the Joe and Keith show, all their skits. You guys obviously know Keith well. So I was listening to Keith when I was like 13 making the egg mayonnaise, which is crazy to think about. You know what I mean? So listening to them do the skits.
Know their very first radio show that hooked them in.
Yeah. Do you guys remember yours? Can you?
Yeah, 100%. It was The Blast with Ray Foley and JP.
Ah,
was Ray Foley?
No way.
I love The Blast so much, and that's what made me fall in love with radio. I can't believe yours was Keith. That's so mad.
Keith.
I used to love Tony D. Do you remember on FM 104 with the R&B? It was like all hip hop and R&B, because that's what I've like loved, like literally since
always.
I was,
yeah,
like Gavin, I've loved hip hop and R&B.
So were you like a young girl listening to like all the swear words and all that? Like
like I honest to God don't know how my parents like, and I'm so thankful because I loved the music so much. But like the stuff that was coming out of my bedroom, they were like, I don't know how I got away with it. But I was in like primary school. So do you remember, well, you've actually already kind of touched on this, your first girlfriend. You've told us about the kiss. Can you tell us a bit about how it came to be?
Sarah was my first girlfriend and we were together 2 years before we kissed. Isn't that mad?
I mean, it sounds like an episode of Bridgerton, to be completely honest.
Yeah. So, yeah, I remember Valentine's Day came around the first year, and I remember turning to my dad and I was like, I'd get Sarah something for Valentine's Day. And he brought me to, it was Super Value. And I remember getting her a box of roses and a card. I remember when she wasn't looking in the classroom, it was like fourth or fifth class, going over to her cubbyhole and making sure she couldn't see me and leaving it in her cubbyhole for her. So, but we actually were like, we were actually considered boyfriend and girlfriend, even though we were like, what, 10, 11 and 12. So
like, doesn't matter what age it is. Love is love.
Doesn't matter. Well, I don't know about love now. I mean, like, at the end of the day, I kissed her and like I didn't like it. So I don't know if she would ever say that. But the funny thing about it was, we were both born in the exact same hospital at the same time, just one day apart. October 17th and I'm October 18th. So I think that's what we bonded over quite a bit.
She was a cougar.
Yeah, she was a cougar. Yeah, I know.
Do you remember asking her out?
I don't remember asking her out. No, and I'm pretty sure I didn't. I'm pretty sure Tracy. So Tracy, like I said, I mentioned earlier on, she was like the mutual friend. I'm pretty sure she did it for me. Like, it was like, would you go out with Martin? She said yes. And Tracy relayed the message. And then all of a sudden, after Tracy coming back, I had a girlfriend. Like, so.
But that's the way every relationship and every shift happened up until, like, I suppose, first year of college. That's when you kind of clocked out.
It's scarily true, isn't it? Like, yeah,
it is. You're, like, yeah. Not to mind that.
I'm laughing so much how when you're talking about the Valentine's Day present that you got for her in fourth class, and like it was the box of roses and the card, and I'm here going, oh my god, that's so cute. And I just remembered that when I was in fourth class, a guy got me Colin McRae Rally and wrapped it up. It was his old PlayStation game and gave it to me for Valentine's Day. But I was so fumed because, like, I didn't like boys. I didn't want a boyfriend. I hated all this, like, mortification of it. But our mothers were friends. So she wanted to make it work. So she was like, you have to give her something. And had given him, like, chocolates and stuff to give to me. And he was like, I want to keep them for myself. And gave me his old PlayStation game instead.
Stop.
Did you have a PlayStation, Laura?
Well,
yeah, did you even have a PlayStation?
Yeah. Sorry. I actually don't think anybody knows this about me, but I was a massive, like, Sega Mega Drive, PlayStation. Like, I got one for Christmas when I was younger.
And oh, so because... it wasn't that bad.
No,
a present,
no. Though. It was a great present.
You make it sound awful.
I know, but I'm just saying. But what I'm saying is he didn't give me the present he was supposed to give me. He gave me one of his old PlayStation games so that we could eventually play PlayStation together. So it was.
I think we've all been in a position before where we've gotten someone a present and thought, I'm going to like this a little bit more than that. And re-gifted something else for them. We've all been there. He was just way ahead of his time. You know, he was way ahead of his time.
Marty, your very first holiday. I mean, I want your very first one because I know that we're very used to looking at your Instagram and you are just living your best life in Barcelona.
Yeah, it was Gran Canaria or Portugal. And the reason why I remember it is because I had one of those kind of like blow up crocodiles and you sit in the middle of it and you go around the pool thinking you're the business and you're trying to figure out who you want to make friends with and you're trying to figure out how to do it all. So I was like, well, if the crocodile floats towards somebody, I mean, I hit into them, like, I have to say hello to them. You know, you're trying to come up with these ways to make friends on holidays, like, and it's so awkward.
Such creeps.
Isn't it so mad? If you see that nowadays, imagine going to Ibiza and you're standing in the pool and you're floating towards somebody. Like, you know, back then it was okay. Doing it now, you'd be like, look at this guy. And the crocodile, bearing in mind that my legs were actually through, the crocodile actually, you know, turned over and I ended up my legs in the air and my head under the water. But it's impossible to turn back around. And my mom tells me that she looked out into the water to see if she could see me and she could just see my legs in the air. So she just ran and jumped in and saved me. Oh, we can laugh about it. It's okay. Like,
no, but what age were you?
I was young. I was very young. Yeah. So.
Oh my God, that's actually terrifying.
That's the first I remember. That's my first holiday I remember.
So do you remember the first meal that you cooked for yourself?
The very first meal I cooked for myself was beans and pasta. Like, because I remember just, so I'm going to be totally honest, guys. Even now, I don't cook. I honestly don't cook. I get the ready meals. I get everything in bulk. And I'm just like sticking in the microwave, happy days, good to go. So my first meal was never going to be epic. It was beans and pasta. And in my head, I'd convince myself, you know, I'm getting the protein and the fiber from the beans. I'm getting the carbohydrates from the pasta. This is a good meal. So
I think
I'm
sure
you...
lovely. I have no issue with this at all.
It's so lazy. It's so lazy. Come on. Like, it's so bad. And like, you're not even cooking it. Like, you're boiling the pasta and you're putting the beans in the pan and you're just sticking it all together. But I'm so lazy with food, guys. Like, I'm really, really bad. I know sometimes online I'm harping on about food, but like, I never cook. Everything is like, I'll save up my money and I'll put the money away and I'll be like, yeah, €3 microwave meal. I'll take that. Absolutely.
But a lot of those ready-made meals, they're completely different now. I do the exact same thing. I did my food shop right before we came to do the Zoom meeting and I bought 4 of the ready-made meals for the week because all the macros and everything are on them and they
it's
come
so
from-
easy.
they come from legit companies, and I'm kind of going, okay, well, by the time I actually buy everything and put the time into prepping it for all of my dinners each week, it's just too much. So I'll cook two meals a week, and then the rest I all have ready made, and I make my breakfast every morning.
Yeah, no, it's handy. And if you are into like tracking your food and stuff, it's so easy to scan the barcode, isn't it? And it goes in. That's where I'm at. Emma, I don't know, you're kind of looking at us right now.
No, I actually like to cook, but I get what you mean. I do, like, I would bulk. I'd cook, like, you know, a chili or something. I'd have that for days. Because, yeah, the effort of it is hard sometimes when you're trying to be good. But I'm weird about ready meals. I'm weird about a lot of things. So, like, I don't like eating food out of, like, plastic lunchboxes. So ready meals sometimes would like turn my stomach, like, for no reason whatsoever. I can't eat like sandwiches that are in a pack either. Like, I'm weird about food, so I do need to cook my food. We could, like, this could be a podcast on how weird I am about so many different things.
I feel like that Laura is like, I've seen this in action before. Like, you're like, you can see you. So I don't know what I'm afraid to even ask why. I don't even.
So I find it kind of hilarious, like, a lot of the time.
But, well, you're used to it now.
Yeah. Marty, I know we're having a good giggle now, but just to bring the tone down slightly, do you remember your very first heartbreak?
Oh my God, I do. I'm not going to say her name. I don't think she'll want me to, but I got into another relationship then after Sarah at 13 with a girl 2 years older than me. Yeah, another one older.
You love the Cougars.
And she broke up with me. She did. And I used to have to walk past her house every day going into secondary school. And I had to start going the other way. But I remember, guys, just being so pathetic at 14, 15 when she broke up with me. I was like sending I love you messages and stuff. And I was like, please don't, like, I can change and all. Like, oh, I didn't do anything. Like, I was 14 years of age. Like, you know, she was 2 years older than me and was like, this is over, you know. But it really got to me. Like, I remember, I have no idea why, but it really, really did. Like, it really got to me.
Obviously it got to you. I don't think people actually realize your first heartbreak is all over the place because A, 9 times out of 10, you're a teenager when you're going through these things.
So you're a teenager,
hormones,
yeah.
Hormones are all over the place. But B, you've never experienced anything like this. So you don't know how to react. You still don't know how to react.
No, that's so true. It definitely doesn't. No. I do remember it so well coming home. I actually remember the phone and everything I had. It was like one of those flip phones. It was not easy. Like, it wasn't.
I'm just here to validate you, Marty. I'm here to validate your feelings around your heartbreak. I'm here to validate your ready meal.
Marty, so we've got one final question for you. We've absolutely loved talking to you on the podcast. You've been very open, very honest, and we've really enjoyed it. Can you tell us about your first ride?
I can. Absolutely. I lasted a solid 1.5 seconds. Is that what you want to hear? Like, oh my God, it was horrific. Now, I was of age and everything. I waited. I was with the girl for 2 years, like, you know, and we ended up being together up until I was 20. So it was like 16 to 20 we were together. Waited till like 18, the whole lot. This big massive build up, and like 2 seconds in, I was gone. See you later, like, done.
And like, I don't think anyone's experience is any different, to be completely honest. It's the most awkward thing you will do in your life.
It is awkward, but like, surely someone has a better record than that for their first time. Like, no, come on.
They don't. They absolutely don't. If they do, they're lying.
Oh, that's great. No one's ever told me this before. I didn't know that.
Again, I'm here to validate you, Marty.
Hold on, are you telling me that your first one's the guy who was about two, three seconds as well? Like, we're all good here.
Yeah, everyone's sound. Everyone's gravy, everyone's kosher. But we're not here to talk about us. We're here to talk about you.
Oh, okay. All right.
Marty, thank you so much for joining us on my first ride. We've absolutely loved chatting to you.
Guys, thank you so much for having me on.
Check us out on rte.ie/podcasts or wherever you listen to your favourite shows. And if you like us, give us an L subscribe.
And don't forget to rate our podcast, as long as it's 5 stars.
See you next time on My First Ride.